At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
People might think that my Munster hat is too Munster. Got to get into a position where we're rewarding form as opposed to credit in the bank.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
We are turning our attention back to the All Blacks game this Saturday. Delighted to welcome Keith Wood to the show. Good morning, Keith.
Morning, how are you?
Yeah, very well. So when you look ahead to this weekend, are you expecting to see stylistically a very different type of Ireland, or was Saturday something of a new dawn, I guess, in the lifespan of this team?
I've been thinking about that for the last few days, and I think if I reflect on the game first and foremost, I thought there seemed to be a philosophical shift. The amount of offloads, the looking for space, the looking for guys to tip on, the running of players from depth, which we haven't seen for a long time, I have to say, that was incredibly encouraging. And so I liked seeing elements of that, and I thought it was a very comprehensive performance. Now, the only backdrop you can put against it, and I know everybody has talked about this, but Japan were abject. And I said last week, I didn't quite know how much preparation they had. Well, they didn't have a huge amount by the looks of it, because they decided to go back and play a style of rugby that they played about 15 years ago, which is just to try and kick the ball and not have it in their hands. They were poor. They only played with about 20 minutes to go in the game with the ball in hand. They kicked it very poorly, and their defensive line was awful, and it gave us a huge amount of space. So I think it's very hard to read a huge amount into the game, apart from the fact that there was a marked change in the philosophy to offload the ball. And for me, that's a great step. I mean, I'm very happy with that step, and you can only play what's in front of you. So whether we're going to see much of that, I hope we see some of it, actually. But I don't think we're going to have any space. I think we will probably kick more ball than we did, and we should. And when you're playing against New Zealand, you just have to do it really, really well. But I'd like to see us try and play with that tempo. But I can't see us getting the ball as freely and as easily and as with as much space as we got at the weekend. So it'll be interesting to see what team is picked, and interesting to see whether that team goes about trying to play with a higher level of pace than we've shown in the past.
What changes would you make then, if any, Keith, when you talk about the interest in the 15?
Well, I don't know. You see, it's very hard, and we always put this down, and you're quite happy to hand it over to the coach and then castigate him when he gets it wrong or if it doesn't work out right for him. But like, I looked at Jemison Gibson Park, and I'm a Conor Murray fan, right? So, and I think Conor hasn't hit the mark that he'd like to have over the last few years, though he still has that capacity. And would he play at a higher tempo if that's the game plan? Because I feel like the game plan has been to kick it into the air, and Conor is actually very good at that. I thought Jemison Gibson Park played excellently on Saturday. He looked full of energy. He was there constantly. The ball was off the ground and in the next carrier's hand, be it a forward or be Johnny Sexton, really, really quickly. He was under no pressure whatsoever, but he played very well. So what do you do in that circumstance? Do you say, well, it could be very different against New Zealand, we'd better go with the tried and trusted with Conor Murray? And I wouldn't. I'd continue with Jemison Gibson Park and say, you've done it last week, now we'd like you to see if you can do it against an incredibly serious outfit with no space, and see, are we still able to move that ball very quickly? Because that's something we need to learn. So that's the way I would look at it. I don't think you can criticise him for the fact that Japan were so poor. So when a guy plays well, my belief is you should try and support them to give them another chance always. And he hasn't been the first starter for Ireland, you know, too much. So this is a chance for him to back it up.
Would you expect there to be more? You mentioned that you necessarily have to kick a little bit more against New Zealand. Do you specifically expect there to be more box kicking against New Zealand, or how do you see that going?
I think you need to get yourself out of your half. You need to move yourself up to halfway. Whatever tricks you can do to do that, whatever plays you have to do that, we understand you're going to kick it. I'm not a big fan of kicking in the opposition 22. Are there, and yes, you want to kick to get the ball back. We're not kicking it away. There's a big difference. I thought we showed at the weekend that there was enough of players running from depth to get over the gain line. If you get over the gain line and you get one guy to support you, it means that ball is safe and can be very quick. If you get over the gain line and nobody to support you, it's going to be a turnover against New Zealand, as almost guaranteed. So they're the risks that you have with it. But look, New Zealand kick plenty of ball, but they kick for position. They kick to not put themselves in a position where they give away a penalty and the opposition 10 is able to bang it over the bar. There's nothing wrong with kicking the ball. It's as a game plan that you slow it down to kick the ball in the air. I mean, look, I believe World Rugby should ban the sort of extended tail of a ruck that somebody else joins it to make it back further so you can box kick it, because that just slows the game down too much. I don't think that fits into the game. So kicking is fine. It's got a place. Mm. But I just thought we saw a change at the weekend. And for that, that was good to see, because that's exciting. And I don't mean just exciting. We want to win. And it's trying to get that balance between entertainment and winning is something that's important.
Wanted to get your take, Keith, on the forwards that we've seen and the skills that they brought to the table on Saturday, because it definitely feels as if there has been so much of a discussion around how talented these forwards are, how good their ball playing skills are, and just this sense that they've been held back a little bit at international level. Is this a sense that they're now achieving what we all know they can achieve when you see the likes of that front row offloading time and time again?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not going to fall into that idea of this high achieving pack just yet. Right. We played against Japan and they gave us space. And for whatever reason, Japan were kind of drifting more than press defence and they weren't going for the big collisions. And our players were given the space under which to do it. So I don't think you can just say everything is brilliant and these are the best ball playing. Though they do show great skills, and actually Porter running off the line off Furlong that's a joy to see. I mean, it's the way I'd like to play. And I thought an awful lot of it was pretty good. So, but you can't do it just from one match. I mean, we're falling into the trap that Ireland fall into consistently, and Ireland fans and media, that we see a performance that was very good against a poor team and we could have made them look poor, and that's fine. But that doesn't turn you into, like, we keep talking about the best. Like, that's just absolutely premature. Let the team grow. I mean, I'm interested in seeing Porter move over to one. I don't know that I would have done it, because I love the fact of him coming off the bench after Furlong, because it gives us huge strength at tight head. And I think we need that. But I understand the rationale behind it. But it looks very, very strong. And with Kelleher, who I think has matured from the lines, I think that gave him a huge fillip to be considered next in line on that and being brought out there. I like Sheehan because he's a big, raw type. And like what I do when I look at the front row and I look at the two hookers in particular, that's our future. Those two guys are our future, and we need one more. And I said it a few weeks ago, Rob Herring is a great guy to have in the background, but these two guys are the future. But if you need to fall back on someone who is accurate and a good player, you can fall back on Herring. But these two guys are big, abrasive, capable, and we need to see them playing in some big matches, because they could be serious knockout stars at 25 years of age in a World Cup.
Is Herring still the safest option at hooker just when it comes to set piece?
I think he is a safe option, but I wouldn't be going for safe. I'm saying that there is the skill set to have there, and you get the most out of Herring by making certain he's part and parcel of the squad. He's a decent thrower, Herring, a better thrower than the two guys. They haven't the experience of it. I watched their throw at the weekend. They were throwing well. Some of their timing is a bit off. Some of the arc and the ball is a little bit off, but that's, you know, this is, they're learning at an accelerated rate. Even against Japan, which isn't a particularly tall lineout, the pressure of playing in an international is very different from anything else. It's quite a difficult place to be. So you have to learn that, and you're going to go through days where things don't go well. We shouldn't be expecting perfection in these guys when they start. They're going to have to get to that after a period of time. So I would persevere with both of them.
When you talk about... Sorry, go for it, Ger.
Well, I was going to ask about the team selection, right? Maybe with the exception of Robbie Henshaw and potentially one of the wing spots. If you were to offer the coaching tickets, the starting 15 that started against Japan for a World Cup quarterfinal in the parlance, they would bite your hand off. It seems like, in a way, we've got to where we now understand what our first team is. It just seems it's a bit early in the cycle. We're 2 years out, really, from the game, which will define whether Andy Farrell's tenure is a success or a failure. And I don't know, it feels like we've got there too soon, in a way.
Well, I don't think we're there yet, Ger. And I do see the point that you're making. And we do have a consistently... we get our timing entirely wrong. We're exactly out of cycle for World Cups and have been consistently. And if we are seeing two or three players in each position that are getting enough of game time at European Cup level and at international level that we can trust to play, that puts us in an incredibly strong position. So for me, I think we are looking at technical positions more than any of the rest. So if I look at hooker, I think, yeah, we look decent at hooker. We have three hookers, maybe four hookers in Heffernan, and there's a couple of young guys coming through up in Ulster. At tight head, I think we're fairly well set. I wouldn't like an injury to Furlong, I have to say, but I think we're well set. At loose head, I think we're pretty well set. We could do with another big second row. We have a few guys that are thereabouts. We are absolutely stocked in our back row. We have huge amount of players. We're shy still at 9 and 10. And we're not shy of players. We're shy of players playing at the highest level and performing at the highest level. And that's where I'm at the most nervous still, is at 9 and 10. In 2 years' time, when you look at a World Cup, how is Connor going? What's his game like? Is he still fresh? Is you know, has he fully got back his confidence to play to the level that he has played at? How is Johnny? Is Johnny able to do it? He pulled the strings the other day. He was under no pressure the other day, but I have to say, I really felt for him on the game. He was quite emotional with it. I thought he played incredibly well. He just did everything well. You know, he had he took a hard line for a try to fairly non-existent defence, but he saw it. He picked the line. He went through the tackle and he scored the try. So again, you can't ask any more of him. But we're lacking game time and confidence in the players behind 9 and 10. And that's the worry for me 2 years out, because do we hold on to a guy who'll be 38? Do we hold on to a guy who'll be, I don't know what age Connor will be, 33 or 34? What about the other guys that are coming through? And I often go back to the World Cup that won in 2003 with England. They had a lot of experienced players over 30, but they were all nailed down, fighting off a lot of opposition coming up behind them. And they were having to perform at their absolute best to go and play and to win. So, and they did. I often describe it, Martin Johnson in the World Cup final played the best game of rugby I've seen by a seconder, and he retired after it.
Hmm. That emotion, Keith, that you mentioned that we saw from Johnny Sexton at the weekend, is that coming from the crowd? Is that playing in front of a full stadium again? Is it for the teammates that he mentioned in his post-match interview about them retiring to empty stadiums? What was the genesis of that? Because it was a different type of Johnny Sexton that we saw.
Well, I think he's under a lot of pressure. Us having a conversation like this is under a lot of pressure. And, you know, everybody thinks that all comments that we make are a personal criticism, which they're not. Actually, we're not in the game of that. Actually, we're trying to do an analysis of something, but we're also in fear for other things that happen. And actually, when we criticize the lack of depth behind Johnny Sexton, that's not a criticism of Johnny Sexton. You know, it's criticism of our structures, that we're not getting the players through to the level that we should be. And it's one of the glitches within our system that if you have, if you have four out halves playing for the four provinces, you all want them to be knocking on the door of the international jersey. You know, to play for a province is to play for your country. Very strangely, that's what it is for the majority, especially in the technical positions, 2, 3, 9 and 10 in particular. You know, they're the guys that you need to be able to do. You can build a team around those players very well, and that's something that we now are beginning to do. We didn't do it with the last World Cup. The last World Cup, we had Rory Best, who was. He stayed on too long. I mean, that's the fear. The fear is we're looking at things in the past, and it may not be the same players, but it's different players. But we need players in their absolute pomp, not on coming down the other side of the hill.
That can be a hard thing to find, Keith. How?
Of course it is. Yeah. Of course it is. And it's not. So it's not a criticism of the player. Like my criticisms for Johnny at different times is that our game plan has been entirely based around him, and he has got smashed because he was taking every play was through Johnny, and the opposition teams were targeting left, right and centre. Well, if you looked on Saturday, not every play went through Johnny, so they went through lots of other players. That's a far better opportunity to hold on to that 10 for a period of time.
It is, isn't it? And I actually think that that's the game plan that Mike Catt and Andy Farrell have instigated, and that actually what the game plan that worked very well for Ireland under Joe Schmidt was limited and kind of in one way one-dimensional, and that it asked a lot physically of the players, and that hopefully the injury profile of this team is going to be better than the injury profile of the previous team. But this actually opens up a nice window to the conversation, right? Because in Rory O'Connor's piece about Anthony Eddy, and we can talk about that in a moment, there's a line where he says he expects, and you might have the exact line again there, but he expects that David Nusafora will be renewed or will have his contract renewed. Ultimately, it's not the head coach's job to try and find 4 10s or 6 10s or 6 international quality 9s. Like, what's the point of the director of rugby? Maybe I've misunderstood this whole time what David Nusafora is supposed to be doing, and perhaps he's doing an excellent job, but it's just hard for us outside to see when those problems that you talk about they seem to be systemic problems, and the man who's in charge of the system isn't actually being held accountable when the system isn't working.
Well, there's a lot in what you've just said there. Look, the review after the last World Cup was pretty much done by David Nusafora, and he's over it. So that's something that needs to be looked at in terms of governance. That doesn't seem to make a huge amount of sense. It's not a bugbear, but this is an observation I've had for years, is that we have built our professional structure entirely on an amateur base. If you look at it within England, it isn't built on an amateur base. It's built on a professional structure. Now, that's just the nature of it. But we have, like, at some stage, you need to almost have a summit as to what exactly it is you want from rugby. So if you take Munster as an example, and I know that can upset people because I talk about Munster, but I know a bit more about Munster. So you have the schools and you have the clubs, And you then have a professional setup that's on top of it, and a professional setup that tends to run part of some of the amateur elements of it. But if somebody plays rugby, that doesn't mean that they're necessarily wanting to play rugby to play for Munster. They may just want to play Munster. Yeah, or they may just want to play rugby. They just want to play a game of rugby. And to be dictated to by a professional setup is not maybe necessarily correct. And like we have an issue at the moment. There's an issue with the Munster referees. Huge shortage of referees going in, their games being cancelled. And I know they're trying to sort that out at the present moment in time. But the setup of the game is, you know, a patchwork quilt of a structure built on the back of an amateur game from 25 years ago. So I don't know if that's ever been fully addressed. So I didn't complain at all for the fact that the team last week was Leinster and three guys born in New Zealand, because I think Leinster are getting an awful lot of really good young kids through the system and getting them through early enough and giving them enough an opportunity to go and play. And the idea of Ireland being strong is actually the four proud provinces is trying to get players through that system. And by whatever dint of circumstance, that didn't work last week. We ended up with the vast majority coming from Leinster. And I'm not saying that that's like that could be a one-off, but we need to be getting our players through all our clubs and schools in the four provinces to try and get, you know, to maximise them. Just moving a player from Leinster to Munster, to Connacht, because they have a surplus of players there and we're not generating them, that is not resolving the issue in the provinces, because the province is supported by the province and they would rather, the fans would rather the players were coming through their own system, because there's a different type of player in Munster to Connacht to Ulster to Leinster, and actually we are at our best when we have the blend of all of them.
And am I right in saying that my understanding would be that that would be New Sephora's job to fix that, and that by most measures doesn't seem to have delivered on that?
Well, no. Well, like I think that is his job. I think his job is to prepare players to make certain that there's enough of high performance players for the international team. There's a lot of high performance players coming through the Leinster system. There is a few coming through Munster. That's happened. There is a few coming through Ulster and a few coming through Connacht. But for me, it's the blend of trying to get all those players coming through at once. And I'm saying there is, I don't know if there's a difference in how each of the provinces do them. But look, I'll go back to the Munster line. A Munster team that won European Cups were mostly from Munster. They had a sprinkling of players from overseas or from elsewhere who all were welcomed with open arms. But you want to have as many people from the province as you can. Otherwise, you begin to lose some of the tradition and some of the support.